Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, okay? It says this, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee with the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoiced at harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. All right, so last Sunday, I know a lot of you weren't here, but last Sunday we focused on the same passage, okay? And last Sunday we focused on the beginning of verse 7. If you kind of look with me at verse 7, I'm going to read the New Living Translation of it, or the Message translation of it. It says, His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness he will bring, okay? So that's kind of what we focused on this last Sunday, just this whole idea that Jesus Christ brings his kingdom, and when he brings his kingdom, he's inaugurated his kingdom, and with that, he brings wholeness to his people and to the world. All right, but this morning, we're going to focus on a different portion of the passage. We're going to be meditating on the words right above it, okay? So if you look at right above it, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And we're going to just kind of hover on those words. It's a big, huge passage, and there's a lot in it, but we're just going to focus on just that phrase there, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in particular, we're going to be looking at Wonderful Counselor, you guys. Wonderful Counselor is what we're going to focus on. And so if you break down those words, Wonderful Counselor, Counselor being source of wisdom, one who's wise, God's wisdom, and then wonderful, you know, just speaks about God's wonder, okay? And in part, the message of Christmas is about those two things, wisdom and wonder, okay? Wisdom and wonder. So let's start by meditating on wisdom, on that counselor portion, okay? This child that was going to be born, it says the child was going to be given to us, and it says that he was to be a counselor. And a counselor is a source of wisdom. And not only was he a counselor, but he was the mighty God. So he's the ultimate source of wisdom, the ultimate source of wisdom. Okay? And so if you look at verse 1, if you kind of skip back and go all the way up to verse 1, we know that he was born into a dark situation, a dark world, okay? And a world that didn't have, and we can see it now. We can see it in these past few weeks. There's really some clear examples in these past few weeks. We can see that it's a world that doesn't have enough wisdom to deal with its own problems. You know, and I don't know, we can look at our own lives and go, man, there's been times when I just don't have enough wisdom to deal with my own problems. Certainly the world doesn't have enough wisdom to deal with its own problems. All right? And it's funny, you know, when we look at Christmas is one of those holidays that for some reason the world has kind of embraced Christmas, doesn't it? I mean, over Good Friday, over Easter, I mean, the world just kind of gravitates towards Christmas. And part of it's because, you know, there's this feeling, I mean, you go into the malls, right? You go into restaurants and stuff, and there's this kind of this good, warm feeling around Christmas. Christmas kind of has this message, it's kind of an affirming message, kind of joy and peace and goodwill, you know? And so, you know, for the world, it kind of, the world kind of like, even the secular world kind of like holds on to Christmas. It's like, oh, this is kind of nice. This is kind of enjoyable. We like exchanging gifts. We like all this. But it's really wild is that actually the message of Christmas, you guys, if you look at these words, wonderful counselor, the message of Christmas is actually pretty confrontational to the world. It's actually pretty like an affront towards the world. In this sense is that when he says that a wonderful counselor is coming into the world, he's basically saying, this passage, Isaiah is saying that when this counselor comes in, is this basically saying that the world doesn't have needs a counselor. It needs wisdom. In fact, that the world's wisdom isn't good enough. The world's wisdom, there's something wrong with the world's wisdom, right? That we actually don't have the resources to deal with our own problems. And you guys, you look at the fallout of a couple of Fridays ago, and people are already looking, right? What happened at Sandy Hook? People are going like, what is wrong? What is wrong with us? What's wrong with the world? And they're looking at different areas. They're looking at, right? Different areas. They're looking at gun control, looking at mental health. They're looking at security in schools. How can we, what is wrong with us, right? And then people are also talking about, see how often it's happened in Aurora, in Sandy Hook, you know, in Tucson. Like, there's just, what's happening? What is wrong with us, right? People can almost see that there is a problem with the wisdom of the world, okay? The world's wisdom is it's lacking, okay? And this message of Christmas is actually kind of confrontational, going like, there's something missing, and we need a counselor. All right, here's some pictures that demonstrate the world is lacking in wisdom. Let's see. Well, here it is. Here's that. All right. So the world is lacking in wisdom, and Jesus brought his wisdom when he came. Here's a couple of pictures, right? End of the world, clear out. If the world ends, you don't have to pay. Right, everyone was kind of waiting. And you know, even those who are outside of the Christian realm were making jokes about the Mayans, you know, just like, yeah, come on. You know, people on Facebook, across Facebook, were like, yeah, the end of the world is coming, you know. Here's a true capitalist. Hey, buy a car now because you don't have to pay. Here's some lack of wisdom in Christmas gifts, okay? This is Christmas gifts. Don't you love this one? This is the bear sleeping bag. Yeah. What's the thing that, remember a couple of years ago when they had the thing that you, it's like a blanket that you wear? The Snuggie, yeah, the Snuggie. Did anyone ever get one of those? Snuggie? This is even crazier. This is a bear sleeping bag, and I like it. You can't really see the person in there. It's too light out, but look, you can lay in the sleeping bag, and you can zip it up. You can see the little zips, and it just zips up to a full bear. Okay, here's another gift for the nerd in your life, okay? Pie wrapping paper, it's got pie on it, and look how much it cost. Huh? 3.14, yes. For the nerd in your life. Okay, let's see, what else do we have? Okay, wisdom, lack of wisdom in dealing with grooming, okay? Here we go, I don't know if you can see that. You might have to darken it a little bit. Can you see it? Yeah. That next year. Here's another one. Christmas tree, right? I wonder where that guy is. Looks like a California thing to me. Yeah, Christmas tree, ornaments in the hair. Here's another one. You see that? YOLO tattoo on the toes. I know, it's kind of a front to our morning senses to see a barefoot like that. All right. lack of wisdom with our grooming, lack of wisdom with gift giving, lack of wisdom as represented on Facebook. Ever see some crazy conversations on Facebook? I got these off of failblog.cheeseburger.com. Okay, this is what it is. A cop just knocked on my door and told me my dogs were chasing people on bikes. My dogs don't even own bikes. Yes. Jesse, why do you have a framed picture of a ceiling fan? And I realize it's just a mirror. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here's the last one. Heard a girl this morning to say that The Hobbit was a ripoff of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I wanted to throw a Cheeto at the back of her head. Lack of wisdom. Some of you just finished finals. Lack of wisdom on test taking. Anyone know Spanish? Can anyone translate this? Answer each question with sí. Does anyone know Spanish? What does that say? What does it say? What did you do on your trip? Sí. What does this one say? Something Spanish. Are you going to Spain? Sí. Yeah, right. You know, right. You're supposed to like answer in the affirmative, obviously, and they just put sí. Some atoms share electrons and become more stable. Describe a situation in which people share something and everyone benefits. Communism. Don't you want to kind of go back to school just to, I mean, I want to go back just to give a smart act answer like this. Here's the last one. I don't know if you can read this. If Robbie had 52 candy bars and ate 35 of them in one day, how much did he have left at the end of the day? Diabetes. See me. 3 out of 10. Right? So, I don't know. You guys, this is like just goofy, just fun way of just showing just wisdom and lack of wisdom. Really, the world has its own set of wisdom. And I don't know. What I'm describing when I talk about world's wisdom is actually worldview. I don't know if you've ever heard this term before, worldview. But basically, worldview is an approach to life, okay? It's the lens in which we kind of view things. Whether it's the lens which we view people, it's the lens through which we view future, it's the lens which we view God or lack of God, nature, problems, evil. It's kind of the lens in which we see the world. And what I'm describing here, when I say that Christianity, Christ, the baby Jesus coming into the world is an affront or kind of a confrontation on the world's wisdom, is that it's a confrontation against the worldview. You know, the secular worldview, I guess the general worldview that people have. And so some of you may have experienced this. Some of you, you know, maybe when you're sitting in a high school class, in fact, I know I've gotten some emails on this recently about just something that like, you know, a teacher said or a professor said, sometimes you're sitting in class and a teacher will sometimes, or a professor will sometimes get personal. You know, they'll share like just what they believe and what they think about. And sometimes as a Christian, you know, who has Christ, who has the mind of Christ, who has the heart of Christ, and you're sitting in class and you'll hear a teacher describe something based on the secular or just the worldview that they have. And that's kind of like, it doesn't kind of click with you because Christ lives in you, and so you see the way that you see the world is through Christ. And so when they're describing the way that they describe people, or the way they describe, you know, anything, war, the way they describe marriage, the way they describe relationships, the way they describe, you know, any news situation, you're kind of like, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. And mainly it's because, you know, again, there's just two different wisdoms that are happening, that are going on, and we have a different way of looking at things in Christ ever since Christ came. So here's another example, okay? So if you were to think big, okay, if some of you have like big aspirations. In fact, I saw a senator of South Carolina. And his aspiration in life was to make an impact on 1 billion people, okay? I'm like, that's a pretty big aspiration. That's a pretty good aspiration. And he was going to be, he was the, I think he was the only, as far as like, I think I can remember from, it was just this past week, the news, he was the only African-American senator, sitting senator. And he's like, I want to make an impact on 1 billion people out there. And that's a big life goal. And so if you think of wisdom and you think of making an impact on 1 billion people, and if you were to make up a strategy, if you were like, look, my life goal, when I go out there, I want to impact a huge, I want to impact the world. And if you were to do that, and if you were to go, look, if you were to go to strategist, if you go to, you know, places in D.C. or New York, and or maybe some sort of consultants or strategist, and go, look, I want to make an impact on 1 billion people. How can I do that? You know, and they were to come up with a strategy, they probably wouldn't say, you know, be born in a small hodunk town in the middle of nowhere in a barn, right? If you were to say, look, 2,000 years from now, I want 3/4 of the world to just know my name. And I want 1/4 of the world to have their culture or their lives revolve around me. You probably wouldn't say, like, okay, be born in the middle of nowhere and stay outside of the circles of all the power structures of, you know, of politics, of economics, of academic influence, you know. Stay out of all those circles and then probably end your career early by being executed. You know? Most likely, strategists would never say, that's the way to be heard. That's the way to make a difference. That's the way to make a huge impact on 1 billion people. They would never say that. But that's such a flip in wisdom, how Christ came into this world with really nothing. Not born in a palace, not born in a wealthy family. I mean, just born in the middle of nowhere, you guys. In a barn surrounded by animals. A total flip on the world's wisdom and what we would think if we were to strategize. What would be a great way to make an impact on the world? But he did make a change, right? He did make a huge impact. In fact, here's what it says about wisdom. Instead, God chose the things of the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Just a real switch, isn't it? I mean, when Christ came into the world, it was a real switch in what the world considers to be great, or what the world considers to be the way to go, what the world considers to be wise, the way the world considers to be powerful. A total flip on what power is. Here's one last example of just kind of the world's wisdom and how Wonderful Counselor is kind of an assault on the world's wisdom. Does anyone know who Paul David Hewson is? Anyone know that name? Paul David Hewson. If Josh was here, he'd probably know. Or maybe if he was here. Paul David Hewson is Bono from U2. It's kind of interesting to watch to hear some singers, some celebrities just talk about their faith. And Bono's one of those guys. Ever since, I know some of you guys are like, some of you guys, does anyone listen to U2 anymore? I know, like, there's a few. I know, like, for some of you guys, it's like, U2, is that from the 70s or something? I never heard of that name before, but he's still around, still makes music. I don't know when his last project was. At least 2005. I know he had a CD come out. But anyways, it's kind of interesting to watch and hear some celebrities being interviewed and their faith. And Bono's been one of those guys ever since I started listening to him back in the 80s. There was, you know, some of his lyrics were always like, there was the one song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, just this whole idea of just, man, the world is looking for something, I just cannot find what it is. And it's been interesting to watch every one of his CDs, almost every one of his CDs has some song about Christ, about Yahweh, about, you know. And so they've kind of followed him. He's been relevant for the past 25, 30.